Good morning, and thank you for coming on this very last day of the conference. I'm very pleased to be sharing some results from our four-state evaluation on the impact of the Newick food package on small stores. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors as well, Ruth Morgan and Lauren Bell, and our partners, the state WIC programs in Colorado, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. I have no relationships to disclose, but I do talk a lot with my hands. Exactly. This is just an overview of what I'm going to be talking about today. A lot to cover, so I'm going to just jump right in. And thank you, Stacy, for covering some of the background on the package. I'm not going to talk too much about that. But I will mention that our research focused mostly on a few of the more dramatic changes to the food package, namely the addition of soy products, soy milk and tofu as a substitute for milk, the disallowance of whole milk from prescriptions for women and children over 2 years of age, the addition of the cash value voucher, which is kind of a big change because it added this whole new component, and this is used exclusively for fruit and vegetable purchases, and the allowance of whole grains. So when we first heard about the changes, one concern that came to mind was the impact it might have on small WIC retailers. We're not necessarily interested in the retailer's business side, per se, so much as their inability to comply with the changes might result in a decrease in access to WIC participants. In some cases, these small stores are the only access that WIC participants have to their benefits. And small stores are typically characterized by, why we were concerned about small stores' ability to comply was that they are typically characterized by a limited availability of healthy foods. And also they face some challenges with adding inventory, limited shelf space, limited refrigeration and other infrastructure. So we had three goals in mind when we started this project. We wanted to know if small stores were able to maintain their authorization in the WIC program, whether we saw a dramatic increase in the availability of these healthy foods in small stores from pre to post implementation, and we wanted to understand what changes small vendors had to make and what challenges they faced and were perhaps still facing 6 to 12 months post implementation. I'm going to briefly cover our methodology. It was more of an exploratory type of approach where we didn't have control stores, we didn't have non-WIC stores in our sample, and we used multiple methods, two of which were the primary focus of our research. We did store inventories using a modified version of the NEMS tool. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the NEMS, it's the Nutrition Environment Measures Survey and Stores. There's a citation there. It was developed by Karen Glantz and her colleagues and is used pretty extensively in the field. The modifications we made were simply to focus more on the foods that were recently added to the food package or represent some modification to a food that was provided by WIC, such as milk. The other major component of our research was to interview a subsample of vendors, and caught me with a bad copy and paste job, but actually the vendor interviews were closer to 35, 40 pre and post. We did those with a subsample of the stores that we inventoried. We also talked with the state WIC staff and abstracted data from various sources from the state. And this was a longitudinal design in that we followed the same stores pre to post. So you can see here that the implementation dates varied by state. They had to implement by October 1, but Colorado and Wisconsin implemented a little bit early. And that's only important in this case that it kind of impacted the length of time between our visit and when they implemented. So it varies a little bit by state, whether we were there 6 or 9 or 12 months post-implementation. One of the things that we were really interested in, which is why we decided to do this evaluation in four states and kind of spread our resources that way, was we wanted to look at differences in some of the state policy choices and their implementation approaches to see if that might influence how well stores were able to maintain their authorization and make these changes. So this table kind of summarizes the foods that we were most interested in looking at and some differences there. I think the most interesting one is that in New Hampshire and Wisconsin, they opted to take milk a step further, and they actually didn't allow participants even to buy 2%, but rather they had to buy skim or low fat, or 1%. And then another interesting choice was with Colorado not allowing canned fruits and vegetables, which typically would be the easiest form of fruits and vegetables for small stores to carry. I didn't put any of the minimum stocking requirements up here, but they are important. I won't get too much into what those are, but basically it's the amount of inventory of these WIC foods that the state requires their stores to carry. So you can imagine with a small store, limited shelf space, if they are held to the same standard as larger stores, that's basically product that can't move. It has to constantly be there. So that can be burdensome. One of the key differences in minimum stocking requirements was we saw with Wisconsin, they required stores to carry 5 varieties of fruit and 5 varieties of vegetables, whereas the other 3 states only required 2 of each. And they took it a step further and said that 2 of those 5 fruits and vegetables had to be fresh in Wisconsin. So that was something we were interested in looking at in the stores. This is a snapshot of our sample. In the interest of time, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I think it's important to point out that the demographics of the stores in our sample did vary a lot by state. And that is a direct reflection of the difference in their state-level characteristics of stores. So, for example, there are not many one-register stores in Colorado. Therefore, our sample doesn't include many. And likewise, a majority of small stores in Pennsylvania are in urban areas. That's why you see 87% of our sample were, they are actually in Philadelphia. Okay. And it's also important to point out here that we had relatively small sample sizes across the states. Because of that, we had wanted to look at things by state and number of registers, but really we're limited to looking at changes in availability overall by state and then across states by number of registers. So getting into findings here, this is a slide that kind of summarizes what we learned about WIC vendors' authorization and their ability to remain authorized. We obtained lists of authorized vendors from each of the states at 6 months pre and 6 months post implementation. This table kind of summarizes these are characteristics of the WIC vendors across the states at 6 months post, and that column where you see some circling happening, that represents net change during this period. So just to point out a couple of things here, like in Wisconsin, for example, they saw a net decrease across all vendors by 2, but actually an increase in the number of small stores, one register stores. Likewise, in Pennsylvania, they saw an increase. New Hampshire, you probably noticed there's a decrease, and I should say that may be artificial because New Hampshire was one of the only states, it was the only state in our sample, and I didn't hear of this happening many other places, but they had a moratorium on new authorizations from October 1 until February 1. So, you know, as you can imagine, these really small stores are most vulnerable to fluctuations in the economy, and this might just be that they weren't able to replenish, and this might stable out over time. So, obviously, this gives us a little bit of insight. I don't know how much we can pull away from it other than we didn't see a mass exodus of the small stores, which was a concern. And we took this a step further. We did follow up with stores that were in our baseline sample but that were no longer authorized at the time of follow-up. And of the 18 stores that we surveyed, only 4 reported that they voluntarily left the WIC program because of the food package changes. And 3 of the 4 indicated they had gone through all the changes, they'd gotten the food on their shelves, and it just wasn't selling before it would stale out. So it wasn't good business sense for them. Now looking at changes in the availability of new and healthy WIC foods, we looked at this a couple ways. I'm not going to spend too much time on this slide. We came up with a composite score, closely mirrors what they used to develop a score for the NEMS. But what you can see here, we didn't try and categorize stores using this composite score as having good or bad availability and quality, but rather as a means of comparison. What change happened pre to post, and where did it happen most? And you can see significant changes occurred across all three states and among 1 and 2 register stores. And an important point that I left off, Colorado, as you'll probably notice, isn't on here. They, because they implemented early and because of our study timeline, we did not have baseline data. So they're excluded from a lot of the results that you'll see. Then we looked at each food type and changes that happened there. And I think I probably only have time to mention something quick about each. I think the most important thing related to milk is that the only change in availability with milk was in 1% milk, and that happened only in New Hampshire and Wisconsin. Interestingly, the two states that opted to reduce women and children over 2 to skim or low-fat milk. And also, soy milk increased significantly in all three study states and across all store sizes. Fruit, we saw the most change in fresh fruit, and this is, you can see, from 59 to 72.5%. This was primarily among 1 and 2 register stores, but we did observe this in all three states that we were looking at. Canned fruits, you can see, are still the most available. They were most available at baseline as well. But we did see an increase among 1 register stores, but only in Wisconsin. And frozen, still limited availability post-implementation, but there was some significant change among the smallest stores and in Wisconsin. Vegetables, less change than we saw with fruit because, as you can see, they were much more readily available at baseline. Less room for improvement, but we did see that fresh increased among 1 register stores and in New Hampshire, and that frozen increased among 1 register stores and in Pennsylvania. And unlike the other foods, the whole grain options tended to increase across the board, stores of 1, 2, 3, 4 registers, and across all three study states. I have brown rice pictured here because the most dramatic changes happened there. I think it's pretty remarkable that only 38% of these small stores were carrying brown rice at baseline, but 78% were at follow-up. And whole grain bread, those of you who are more intimately familiar with the changes to the WIC food package, you probably know that this 16-ounce package was somewhat controversial or worrisome at the beginning because the industry doesn't produce or hadn't previously produced bread in a 16-ounce package. So this was a huge change that had to happen with the industry, the distributors, and then the stores. So this graph shows the availability of whole wheat bread specifically in a 16-ounce package post-policy. You can see that there's still limited availability. But because we had data from Colorado at both 4 and 12 months post-implementation, we did look at the increase in 16-ounce bread in Colorado. And I guess that's a point of light that even though it's low, it was increasing. There was a significant change 4 to 12 months post. So hopefully that's some indication that the industry will eventually meet the demand. And finally, some findings from our interviews with stores. I think it's great to hear that overwhelmingly the vendors felt positively about these changes to the food package. They all reported that their training was adequate, that the training that's provided by the state. 98% did report that they had to make 1 or more change and cited some challenges related to making those changes. Not surprising, keeping food fresh was one. Purchasing and accommodating new equipment, which is closely tied with keeping food fresh. Suppliers' limited awareness of the changes and the availability of the new foods in the allowable forms and package sizes. That was heard more at baseline, but still heard sometimes at post. Increased need to self-supply. That was frequently happening with bread and also with produce sometimes. And then some vendors reported challenges transacting the CVV and customers exceeding the value. Although I should note that in Wisconsin, they actually do allow participants to use another form of payment, but there were still some challenges there. Just working through that transaction was a little time consuming, but something that was improving over time. So in conclusion, were small stores able to maintain their authorization with the WIC program? I would say generally yes, but with some variation by states based on the limited data that we had. I would also argue it may be too soon to tell. We were hearing at post-implementation site visits that they were still struggling with that supply-demand equation, and I think there's still some change there that remains to be seen. Did the availability of fresh foods increase? Yes, definitely, with some variation by state, but really primarily among stores with one and two registers, so I think that might have been a better definition of small. And also there was clearly some difference in the changes in availability that may be related to the specific state policy choices that were made. And again, overwhelmingly, the stores felt these were positive changes. They did face some challenges, but are largely overcoming them. And we have a lot more information to share. It will be shared through the form of a report that will be out by the end of the year. If any of you are interested in being on a distribution list for that, feel free to give me your contact information, and I'll be sure you get a copy.